Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to John chapter 3. This morning I announced the title of this evening's sermon. I call it The Greatest Gift. The Greatest Gift. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Once you find John chapter 3, locate verse number 16 and then stand with me, if you will. I do not plan to be lengthy tonight. I'll get you out of here as soon as I possibly can. John chapter 3. Find verse number 16. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. And then we're going to skip over just a few pages to another verse here in John. John chapter 3, verse number 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now I want you to go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, just a handful of pages over. John chapter 15. And once you get there, I want you to find verse number 11. John chapter 15, verse number 11. When we get to verse number 13, right at the end of it, we'll find the scripture we'll use to spring into the sermon for tonight. Here we go, John 15, verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Meet with us. Help us to see spiritual things through spiritual eyes. So many times our minds are carnal, and then we examine spiritual things with carnal or fleshly minds, and so we limit the spiritual influence that could be upon our thinking. Tonight, help us to see with your eyes, reason with your reasoning. Make the sermon simple and clear to our minds so we might be more like Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. John 3:16, wonderful passage scripture. Boy, it's one of those that even the lost in the world know about. Many have memorized, "For God so loved the world that he gave." And it's Christmas time, and so we understand that part about giving his son. His son, of course, had to come and be born in an effort then that he might be given for us, and so we might have salvation. Then we notice there, as we were reading in John chapter 15, in verse 15 it said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The greatest gift. Now, Christmas is definitely a time of giving. The greatest gift given to us from God was the gift that he gave us in his Son and making salvation available to us. But I ask you tonight, what is the greatest gift that a man can give? We know what God gave, but what's the greatest gift that you and I as human beings could give to one another? What's the greatest gift that we could give as a Christian? I looked up a few interesting things about gifts. The Maharaja of a little country called Sakai gave Queen Victoria a 186-carat diamond as a gift in 1849. Now, I don't know if you can fathom how big 186 carats would be, but that's a huge rock. It was a gift. In 1917, New York banker Morton Plank gave his wife a pearl necklace as a gift, and in today's dollars, it would have been valued at $20 million for one necklace. As a gift, in 2003, a billionaire named Leonard Lauder gave his art collection valued at $1.1 billion to an art museum in New York. A man by the name of Roman Abramovich, as a gift, gave his wife $193 million worth of paintings. In 1969, actress Elizabeth Taylor's husband Richard gave her the gift of a 68-carat diamond that was valued at $6.6 million. A ruler, his name is Shah Jahan, paid $827 million over a 22-year period to build the Taj Mahal. It was a gift, as both a gift and mausoleum for his wife. And you've all heard of the Taj Mahal. Now, a man by the name of Mukesh Ambani gave his wife a $60 million Airbus A319 corporate jet as a gift. something all women want to receive. Then his brother, just a few years later, not to be outdone by his brother, gave his wife, Tina, a 112-foot-long super yacht costing $80 million. That's one expensive boat. Then, get this, a Russian multi-billionaire by the name of Mikhail gave his son and daughter-in-law $1 billion as a gift to pay for their wedding. They said the ceremony lasted for weeks and weeks. They would go to one country and stay for a day, overnight, with the most elaborate of everything. Every place they went, they had the most well-known musicians from all around the world that would put on a concert at every place they went. The tiara that she wore in that wedding had $1 million worth of jewels just in the tiara. You say, that boy, those are some gifts. I'm going to guess nobody here will be getting anything of that sort tomorrow. But if you do, remember to tithe. Those are big gifts in the world's way of thinking. But you got to understand something. God thinks totally different than the world thinks. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. His ways are higher than our ways. Tonight, I'm going to teach you a very, very simple truth about the greatest gift that one person could give to another. You'll have to stay with me. We're going to build a little stair step of logic for a few minutes. Let me start out by saying, number one, God is the greatest lover in the universe. God is the great lover. In John 3:16, we read it earlier, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God teaches his ultimate expression of love was a gift. So if you listen, for God so loved the world that he gave, the great lover expressed that love with a gift. So God is the great lover, which this then means God is the greatest gift giver. So he so loved the world, he expressed it in a gift. So I said, number one, God is the great or the greatest lover. Number two, God said the greatest expression of love that a man can give for another man is to lay down his life for him. Now, let me read the verse to you. We read it earlier in the introductory stages of this sermon. In John 15:13, it says, greater love hath no man. Now, you understand, this is different. This is man's expression of love. Earlier, we talked about God's expression of love. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So there's no greater love than a man laying down his life for his friends. So I said, number one, God is the greatest lover. Number two, God said the greatest expression of love that a man can make for another man is to lay down his life for that person. Number three, so the greatest gift is love, and it is expressed by laying down our lives for someone. Listen to it again. The greatest gift is love, and it is expressed by laying down our lives for someone. So, we go on. Number four, we wrongly assume that this phrase, laying down our lives, means to physically die for them. Let me say that again. We wrongly assume that this phrase, laying down our lives, means to physically die for them. Let me read you John 15:13 again. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I'm going to give you another verse that is similar to it. And listen to it. It's Matthew 16:25. And the Bible says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Right. Notice, saving your life means keeping it for yourself. Losing your life means giving it to another. God's not teaching you need to die for your friend. Right. He's talking about something totally different. So again, stay with me in this logical process. God is the great lover. number one. Number two, God said the greatest expression of love that a man could make for another man is to lay down his life for him. Number three, so the greatest gift is love, and it's expressed by laying down our life for someone. Number four, we wrongly assume that this phrase, laying down our lives, means to physically die for them. But that's not what God is teaching. Number five, and this is the key part of the logic. Laying down your life actually means giving up your life, not ending it. God doesn't want you to die for Him. He wants you to lay down your life and live for Him. God does not want you and I to go take a bullet for Him. Now, ultimately, if it were necessary, okay, let's take the bullet. But you know what He really wants you to do? He doesn't want you to physically die for Him. He wants you to live for Him. So, laying down your life actually means giving up your life, not ending your life. Look, if the ultimate expression was to die for God, then everybody would be going around trying to figure out how can we die for Him. By the way, there is a religion that attacks America that they promote that sort of stuff. If we can commit suicide and be a suicide bomber, then there's a place in heaven for us. That's foolishness, and it's a misinterpretation, at least of any of our scripture. That wasn't God's intent. God's not trying to talk you and I into dying for Him. He's trying to talk you and I into living for Him. That was the whole intent. If everybody went around dying all the time for God, where would the Christian workforce be? Right. So when He talks about laying down our lives, it does not mean dying. It means you living for Him. Do you know, I believe, I look back here, Brother Steed, how many years were you in the Marines? 20 years in the Marines. When he signed up, he agreed that he would be willing to die for our country. But did you want to die? No. You're better off being a soldier and continue the war. He was willing to die. I think we ought to all be willing to die. But I don't think we ought to just try to make it happen tomorrow. Why? God gets more out of you alive than dead. That does make sense, right? And just so you all know, dying only takes a moment. Living is the challenge. Now stay with me again, logically. Number one, God is the greatest lover. Number two, God said the greatest expression of love that a man can give for another man is to lay down his life for him. Number three, so the greatest gift is love, and it is expressed by laying down our lives for someone. Number four, we wrongly assume that this phrase laying down our lives means to physically die for them. Number five, laying down your life actually means giving up your life, not ending your life. See, God does not want you to die for Him. He wants you to lay down your life and live for Him. Let me expound a little on this idea of what it means to lay down your life. Laying down your life means losing your desires for the sake of another. Laying down your life means losing your opinion for the sake of another's opinion. Laying down your life means losing your happiness for the sake of somebody else's happiness. Laying down your life means losing your wants for the sake of someone else getting their wants. Laying down your life means losing some of your security that somebody else might gain security. Laying down your life means losing your will for the sake of someone else. Laying down your life is actually when you do what is scripturally best for the other person. And so you all know, that is a basic premise of all Christianity. It's always about others. Others, Lord, others. Let this my motto be. Anytime you have you in the center of your bullseye, you are not being the giver you ought to be, nor are you being the example you ought to be. It's not all about you. It's all about Jesus and all about other people. And so laying down your life is actually when you do what is best scripturally for the other person. Laying your life down is when you put others first and yourself second. Laying down your life is to put someone else's emotions before your own emotions. So, I am to lay down my life. If I want to give the greatest gift, that gift is to be given. It's a gift of love, but it is the laying down of my life for the sake of my friend. If you want to give the greatest gift possible, I recommend that you lay down your life for the one that you love. I think we should all lay down our lives for God. You say, what exactly does that mean? I don't think I could make it any simpler than to say this. If you want to give God a great gift, you put God first and yourself second. That is you laying down your life. You retire your life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I'm to take that new life. I am to live that life for Christ. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know what that means? I die, and he lives through me. That's me dying to self, so that the spiritual aspect of my life gets the attention and it becomes a prominent part of my life. So for God, if you want to give God a great gift, you put God first and you put yourself second. But this goes further than that. Obviously, this truth is good for us in regard to our relationship with God. But let me take it a step further. He said, for a man to lay down his life for his friends. Well, God's our friend, but wait. I have friends. I look around here. There are people here that are my friends. I ought to be willing to lay down my life for the sake of my friends. Did you know something? Husbands and wives, you're supposed to be friends. You say, I don't know. Husband and wife, one thing. But you're pushing it there on that friendship thing. Hey, really? Husband, your wife ought to be your best friend, and wife, your husband ought to be your best friend. God, can I help you all with your relationship with your kids? Sure, your mom. Sure, your dad. But I'll tell you something. You need to add a big old dose of that element of friendship in there. It'll take you a long, long way. Brothers and sisters, you ought, yeah, he's your brother. Yeah, she's your sister, but you ought to be friends. And God said, if you really want to get a good gift and give it to another human being, you put them first and you put yourself second. And again, it's the basic premise of Christianity. Most people, when they hear that verse, lay down your life for your friend, say, well, hey, honey, I love you. I'm willing to die for you. You know that she and I could be married for 70 years and I could be willing to die for her and we could be miserable all the way through because I thought that I was supposed to be willing to take a bullet for her. What God really wanted me to do is God wanted me to put her first and me second, and those 60 years didn't have to be miserable because I was concerned about someone else more than I was concerned about myself. Moms and dads that have children in your home, and you watch how your kids treat each other. Wouldn't it be good if somebody among the children would decide, I want to do what's best for my brother. I want to do what's best for my sister. That brings peace. That brings joy in a family. It'll bring it into a church. If everybody in the church, we walk around and say, you know what, I'd die for you, brother. Well, I'd die for you too, brother. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but what we need to do is die daily to ourselves and care about everybody else more than we care about ourselves. And that's why he said, there's no greater love than when you lay down your life for your friend. You lay down your life for somebody that you love. Husband, if you'd like to give a great gift to your wife, learn to put your wife first and put you second. That is a husband laying down his life for his wife. Wives, if you'd like to give your husband a great gift, I'm glad for you to give him some Snap-on tools or some Craftsman tools. I'm glad for you to get him a weed whacker or, hey, what, you want to give him a new pair of socks? Okay, but I'll tell you something. The greatest gift is a gift of love, and it is when we lay down our lives for our friends. Wife, you want to give your husband the greatest gift? The greatest gift is when you lay down your life for your husband, meaning you put him first and you second. Parents, we all need to learn to do what is best for our children. And so a parent can lay down their life for their child. You say, what does that mean? I want to do spiritually what is best for my child, and I'll put that before me. That's me laying down my life for my children. Hey, you teenagers, could I recommend that you give, and I'll promise you, any teenager in here, your parents would accept the following gift very, very readily from you. Teenager, lay down your life for your mom. You say, Pastor, should I die for my mom? Well, ultimately, if it came to it, sure. But that's not what this is talking about. You say, well, what's it talking about? Teenager, you do what is best for your mom. You put your mom first. You put mama's feelings up front. You put mama's needs up front. You put mom's emotions up front. You put mom, if it comes down to an opinion, teenager, between your opinion and mom's opinion, lay down your life and let mom's opinion go. That's what it means. Lay down your life for your friend. This isn't talking about you and I giving up our convictions. Boy, when you come right down to it, I will stand for the difference between right and wrong. But when it comes down to just opinion, there's some opinion that, you know, you got a little give right in there. And so, listen, for God, if you want to give Him a great gift, lay down your life and you put God first and you second. Husband, if you want to give your wife a great gift, you lay down your life and you make hers and put her in first place. Wives, if you want to get the greatest gift to your husband, lay down your life and you put him first and you put yourself second. Young people, teenager, you ought to put mom first and yourself second. Young man, put your dad first, put yourself second. That's how we lay down our lives for our friends. Friends, and by the way, I want you to listen. You are to do what is spiritually best for them. I didn't say do anything they want. You say, well, I got a boyfriend or I got a girlfriend. They want me to mess around and to be touching outside of wedlock. You don't give in to that. That's not what I'm talking about. That would be you doing wrong to your God. You have a moral obligation to God. But make sure, though, even friends, two friends will get along better if one will lay down their life for their friend. That means my friend's emotions are more important than my emotions. My friend's need is more important than my need. I think leaders. And I may have to some of you an odd approach to leadership. I think leadership's purpose is to help fellowship. Leadership's purpose is not all about leadership. I think a good leader is concerned about the needs of the follower. If I'm going to lay down my life for my church, that does not mean I take a bullet for my church. If it came to it, I'm willing. But what it does mean is I want to set aside me and I want to help you. And that's laying down of one's life. And if a follower would like to give a great gift to the leader, you say, what would it be? The follower lays down their life to meet the need of the leader. You say, well, Pastor, if the wife is laying down her life for the husband and the husband's laying down her life for the wife, I mean, they're both laying down. I guess there wouldn't be any more fussing then, would there? I guess that'd take care of it, wouldn't it? We'll say if the mom is doing best, what's best for the child and the child's doing what's best for the mom, they're both being submissive. I know. Wouldn't it get us a long way into success in life if everybody wasn't full of pride, if everybody wasn't so self-centered and conceited? Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And God said, lay down your life. Stop making you and what you think and what you want and what you got to get out of this. Stop making that most important and make God most important and somebody else most important, or your husband or your wife or your mom or your dad or the leader, but not you. Not you. Not what you want. Not what you have to have. Not what you demand.
You put that second.
You put somebody else out front. It's the safest thing to do. Let me walk through the logic, give an illustration, and we will go home. God is the greatest lover. God expressed His love through a gift. And then God said the greatest expression of love that a man can make for another man is to lay down his life for his friend. So, the greatest gift is love, and it's expressed by laying down our lives for someone. But number four, we wrongly assume that that phrase, laying down our lives, means to physically die. It may mean ultimately to die, but it actually means giving up your life, not ending your life. Our friends in God get more out of us alive than dead. And if you want to give the greatest gift possible at Christmas, just lay down your life for your friend. All the tension between husbands and wives, parents and children, leaders and followers, and friends, most of it would go if we would just give the greatest gift, the laying down of our lives. Quick story. I love to tell it. Some of you have known and heard me and followed my preaching for years. I don't think I have missed one Christmas of telling this story. You say, then why are you going to tell it again? Because I like to hear it. There was a man standing with a kettle for the Salvation Army. He was ringing a bell, as they do. And as he rang it, he would say, what will you give Jesus today? What will you give Jesus? He kept ringing. It was cold. Here in North Carolina, cold is 65 degrees. Praise the Lord. What will you give Jesus today? What will you give Jesus? An old bum, street person, reached into his pocket. He had a quarter, a dime, a nickel, and a penny. He walked over and he put that penny in that pail, kind of proud of himself, and walked away. He took a handful of steps and he heard the worker say again, what will you give Jesus today? What will you give Jesus? The bum reached back in his pocket and pulled out a nickel. He went up and put that nickel in that kettle. Again, quite proud of himself. He took a few steps away. The Salvation Army worker said, what will you give Jesus today? What will you give Jesus? The bum looked back and he said, I got a dime. Went back and put the dime in the kettle. Began to walk away. What will you give Jesus today? He heard it ringing in his ears. The bum went back, took his quarter out, and he put it in the kettle. The Salvation Army man's bell stopped ringing. He went in a nearby store to get some hot chocolate to warm himself. He came back out about 20 minutes later, and sitting in that kettle was that bum. You can give him all the money. You can give him a lot of things. But Christian, he wants you. That's what he wants. What will you give Jesus today? You say, I'll lay down my life. Well, if you mean you'll take a bullet, that's okay. But really what he wants you to do is not to die for him, but to live for him. The greatest gift, the laying down of one's life for the object of their love. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never received Christ as Savior, we welcome you to the Savior. Is there anyone here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not born again. Would you just raise your hand ever so gently and let me see it? Anyone like that? Then let me ask this. How about it, Christian? Are you willing to give the greatest gift? Will you lay down your life for your God, for your mate, for your kids, for your parents, for your friends? Who here would say, "Preacher, I'm willing to give the greatest gift"? Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. Amen. You may put those hands down. It's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow we celebrate the greatest gift God ever gave. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at this altar, I want you to feel free to come. You come, pray about anything, needs, heartaches, burdens, just anything. Or maybe you just need to come and say, "Lord, I want to push the reset button on giving myself, putting others before myself." I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? The greatest gift. It's not dying. It's living. You say, "I'd take a bullet for my husband." That's nice. But you'd be better off if you would die to self in his presence. Say, "I'd take a bullet for my wife. I'm glad. Thank you." But what you really need to do is not take a bullet, but to lay down your life humbly in their presence. See, "I'd take a bullet for Jesus. I'm glad. I hope we would. But he really doesn't need a bunch of martyrs. He needs a bunch of livers. He needs us to live for him." The greatest gift man can give. It's the laying down of his life. I don't think the military man signs up and says, "I want to go die." I think he is willing if he must. But his goal is to lay down his will to do what is best for his country. That's laying down of one's life. What will you give Jesus today? A penny? A nickel? A dime? A quarter? We all dabble with the little gifts. You know what the big gift is? Put him first and you second. Not just at church on Sunday. At work on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Put him first.